Make it easier. He's got cake.
I haven't set light yet.
Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. Our first meeting of the 2016 regular session. Apologies for the changing time based on when we got off the floor and a couple of us that were needed in the Ways and Means Committee. So we have two items to take care of today, our organizational meeting and then a public hearing on House Bill 4019. So we're going to start with our organizational meeting and our opening a work session on committee rules. These are the standard committee rules that many of us have seen before. I don't believe there are any significant changes. And Representative Wisnant, I'd be interested in the motion.
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules.
Thank you. Representative Wisnant moves to adopt the committee rules as proposed. Is there any discussion on that motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Representative Johnson, it's on the rules.
Yes.
The question was whether you object, so hopefully
no
objection. Excellent. Thank you. No objections to the motion. The motion carries. Our rules are adopted. I think we all, on our agenda, we have introduction of members and staff. I feel like we all know each other reasonably well, but Victoria, would you like to offer any introductions?
Corey's our new assistant.
Thank you, Corey.
Welcome,
glad you're
Corey.
Here. Would you tell us something about yourself, where you're from, and how you've joined us?
I graduated from University of Oregon. I was in the 2015 session as a committee administrator, and this is my first short session.
Very good. Thank you. We're glad you're here. So with that, I'll close the organizational meeting and open our public hearing on House Bill 4019. Victoria, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4019 clarifies the duties of the Executive Director of the Office of Student Access and Completion, excludes Oregon Community Colleges, public universities, and Oregon Health and Science University from definition of school in degree authorization provisions rather than exempt institutions from these provisions.
Thank you. And Dana Richardson is here from PEC.
I'm honored to lead off this session. Good morning. For the record, Dana Richardson, Deputy Director for Legislative and Policy Affairs at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. This bill is before you as a cleanup bill that the chair was nice enough to introduce as a committee bill. It does a couple of things.
The committee did that, and I initiated, but they all agreed to.
I can stop, right?
No, you should still explain it, please.
I just thought that everyone supported it.
No, don't you remember the standard disclaimer that you're supporting the motion to introduce, but not necessarily the bill? So we still need to hear about it, please.
Very well. It does a couple of things. In Section 1 of the bill, it refers to the existing law refers to two executive directors, one the executive director of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, which right now is in Canada, and it refers to the executive director of the Office of Student Access and Completion, which right now is Bob Brew. And it goes on to list some duties for one of them, but you can't tell which. So it's the offices that deal with the administration of OSAC. And so the update in the statute would clearly indicate that it's the OSAC executive director that has those authorities and responsibilities. That's the first change. The second change is reflected in sections 2 and 3. And I keep working on my description of this so that it's not confusing. But I think I'll start with the reason the change matters. When institutions such as OHSU, the community colleges, and universities receive federal funds, occasionally we will get asked to confirm that they have authority to operate in the state. Now, depending on the institution, actually for all the institutions, that authority to operate in the state really comes from you all, not from the HEC, but we do verify in statute that those institutions are allowed to operate. So that's all very straightforward, except when you look at the statutes in sections 2 and 3 of this bill, which indicate that those institutions are exempt from state oversight. So it seems to be in tension with this idea that they are authorized to operate. So the statutes in 2 and 3 were set up in 2007 to prevent diploma mills operating in Oregon. And when those statutes were set up, we tried to define who we were talking about. And we, in setting those up, indicated that the community colleges, OHSU, and public universities were exempt from the institutions that we're talking about with diploma mills. Or they're not really exempt, they're just not the schools we're talking about. So what we're doing is changing the definition of schools that we're talking about to not include those sets of institutions. They're not exempt, it's just not who we're talking about when we're talking about diploma mills. So those are the two things the bill does. The remaining sections are conforming changes for the sections that would change. Also, with the chair's permission, I wanted to give you a head. Well, let me take. I could take questions, Chair, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I want to ask one to clarify that I've understood correctly, and then maybe others have questions as well. I think what you said in describing the definitions is it would have the effect of saying that the Oregon Community College, Public University, and OHSU don't have to do the same kind of verification of their authority to operate. Is that right?
It doesn't change any actual practice.
Okay. So what is the practical effect?
The practical effect is that there's no tension between them being authorized to operate the state and a statute that appears to say that they're exempt from oversight.
Okay. I think I get it. Other questions? Representative Nierman.
So this is kind of curious to me, too. So if you're doing this in response to the federal government, which they're not happy with the way that the statute's worded, where it says it does not apply to the ORS, blah, 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 does not apply to community college, public university, OHSU. But now you're saying a school does not include a community college, a public university, OHSU. If I'm a federal grant or whatever, whoever you're dealing with, that to me, that looks worse, doesn't it? I mean, these aren't schools anymore.
Chair Reed, Representative Nierman. So to clarify, we haven't had any questions from the folks who distribute the money at the federal level, but we were aware that this set of statutes would make them appear to be exempt. I guess to my mind, Representative, it is clear to me to say when we talk about diploma mills, we know at the outset we're not talking about community colleges, OHSU, or public universities. Mm-hmm. I suppose, you know, there could be differences. But it seems to me clearer to say these aren't diploma mills than to say these institutions could be exempt from state oversight.
Can I follow?
Yes, please. But
it looks to me what you're saying is that you're not saying these are not diploma mills. You're saying these are not schools in the new statute.
Sometimes the stats. Chair Reed and Representative Nierman, the statutes clearly define this section of statutes about diploma mills. So I guess I at least feel comfortable with this approach that we're at the outset not defining these institutions as potential diploma mills.
Okay, if you're happy with it.
Well, this is the best. This was much better than some of the other statutory approaches that we came up with, which would have gone through and changed all the CCWD statutes and all the public university statutes. And I think this is really more what was intended.
Okay.
Are there other questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Dana, maybe just to clarify for some members, could you give an example of a real-life example of a diploma mill that's currently in operation in Oregon?
Chair Reed and Representative Johnson, hopefully not. I mean, these set of statutes were put in place to give the Office of Degree Authorization the authority to prevent institutions issuing credentials without the appropriate academic support and study that goes with it.
Just a follow-up, I haven't read it completely through, but I think it, one of the definitions is would be an institution or a school that might have had a unfavorable, let's say, legal decision against it. Wouldn't we have some in the state that might at the national level have had some sort of decisions that were not favorable to them? I mean, it's possible, is it not?
Chair Reed and Representative Johnson, yes, I believe they would fall under a different regulatory authority that essentially they have to be authorized to issue degrees in the state. And so you could still be a bad actor and not be a diploma mill. And there would still be authority at the state level to work with you on that. And we certainly have worked with an institution
and
like that.
You might have recovering bad actors, correct? Maybe they're on probationary type status or
and
oversight.
And we do have, yes,
correct.
Authority
okay.
in that regard.
Thank you.
Representative Gallegos, please.
Yeah, I mean, this discussion made me think about, if you're saying that this works for you, that's fine. I'm just wondering if there's any other ways. I mean, do these schools get the same accreditation? Is accreditation the same? I mean, that wouldn't be a way to distinguish them. Would it be by their accreditation process or status?
But, Chair Reed and Representative Gallegos, just to make sure I understand the question, you don't mean community colleges, public universities, and OHSU.
Yeah.
You mean the other institutions?
No, I mean, is there a different accreditation process for those schools as opposed to these other degree-granting programs?
Chair Reed and Vice Chair Gallegos, to my knowledge, the accreditation process is regional and the same.
Yeah. Okay. That's just a question. Thank you.
Any questions down here? I don't see any.
Putting me through my paces right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, well, you were first.
Yeah. I'll do a rousing start here.
And you were kind enough to stop for questions, but I think you had something else you wanted to add?
With the chair's permission, we're seeking an amendment to the bill. There's one other section of statute that it essentially, so most of you know that the Office of the Degree Authorization used to be situated within OSAC. So there's one set of statutes that currently still has religious exempt institution, providing verification of their exemptive status and what it takes to maintain that status to OSAC rather than the HEC and the Office of Degree Authorization. So I'd love to get that cleaned up as well.
Okay. Very good. Let's see if we can accommodate that. Very good. And please stay there for a moment if you could. We have one other person who's signed up to testify, Tim Cowan, if you could please come forward. Just in case other questions come up, it'll be more efficient perhaps to have you there. Thanks.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, my name is Tim Cowan. First of all, I think the portion that says accelerated college credit programs, I think that's phenomenal. Two, does it have any impact? I couldn't find that on admission into college. So if a student accomplishes the program, does it help them with admission into the college? Review of the cost. Will the legislature continue to look at reducing some of their financial support by making up shortfalls in the budget? If you reduce the cost of a college education, will you also give some consideration to prior students that have student debt? Or is it going to be from this day forward as opposed to people who have already went to college?
Mr. Cowan, I think I'm a little confused as to what you're looking at in the bill. Maybe others are more familiar with your testimony, but as I understand it, the bill is pretty specifically related to these references to the HEC and to the Office of Student Assistance. Is there a particular place you're looking at in the bill?
I was looking at where they talked about accelerated programs in high school for credit, and I just want to let you know that.
Which bill?
I'm not seeing that. We're on House Bill 4019. Is there a particular reference that you have in mind?
I'm sorry, sir. I found it twice in the bill.
Okay. Well, why don't we do this? If you can refer to it specifically, we'd be happy to take that under consideration. I'm not seeing it right now, but if you have a page and line number at some point, we'd be glad to.
What I could do, Chair Reed, is I'll just provide it written.
Very good. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's the complete list of people who have signed up to testify. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on the bill? I don't see anyone. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Okay. So we've, as Ms. Richardson has indicated, we're awaiting an amendment. So that is, I think, as far as we can go today. Correct, Victoria? Very good. Okay. So we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 4019. And we'll be starting at 8:30 on Wednesday. We have a grand total of four bills in the committee presently. We'll hear two of them on Wednesday. And waiting for Representative Wisnett when he's ready. Any other, Victoria?
I just wanted to mention that one of the bills, actually both of the bills that we are hearing on Wednesday have amendments, and Representative Johnson's are gut and stuff amendments, so you want to look carefully at those.
Yeah, look at the amendment, please, instead of the
what's bill. What's the amendment number that we should be looking at?
Dash one.
Dash one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So dash one for 4076 is the one to read, and for 4021 as well. Mm-hmm. Anything else for the committee today? Representative McEwen, please.
Chair Reed, I just wanted to acknowledge on page 5, line 11, it referenced accelerated college credit programs, and on page 8, line 5.
Thank you. Thank you. I just didn't see it as quickly as you did. Well done. Thank you very much. Anything else before the committee? Not. We'll see you Wednesday. We're adjourned. Committee? Not. We'll see you Wednesday. We're adjourned.